This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. It's been a heck of a summer in terms of weather, particularly in terms of rain. We have gotten more than our fair share, and we are not alone. Dramatic amounts of rain have fallen in many places around the country and around the state. Unprecedented flooding has occurred as well. Farmers have seen drought-stricken fields turned into waterlogged bogs, and municipal officials have been challenged by stormwater and road issues. In this hour, we're going to take a look at this unusually wet summer from several different angles. Jennifer Thompson is the communications officer with the North Carolina Department of Transportation. She concentrates on the greater Charlotte region, and she's going to join us for a few minutes in this first part of the segment. We also hope to have a meteorologist with us in a moment or two. Brad Panovich from Channel 36, WCNC-TV, is supposed to be here, but I think maybe his alarm didn't go off. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. There has been on-again, off-again flooding in certain areas, and throughout this summer season, the roads have certainly been impacted. So tell us where the worst of all this has occurred.
Well, without a doubt, as you said, this has been an unprecedented summer, historic, maybe another term we could use. If you ask any of our employees who have been with the department for any certain length of time, no one has seen anything like this in their recent memory. We have had a record fall of rain in the past month. It all started for us in Charlotte back in mid-July when we started dealing with an issue out in West Charlotte on Wilkinson Boulevard. From that, it just exacerbated and got worse. We have dealt with over a dozen closures in Mecklenburg County, Cabarrus County, Stanley. That includes the Division 10 area, which is a five-county region that the NCDOT Highway Division handles, and that's my primary area of focus. But also to our west, in Lincoln and Catawba counties, as folks are well aware, by the end of July, in one 4-hour period on a Saturday morning, they received anywhere between 10 and 12 inches of rain. And I don't know of any area or any system that could handle that kind of rainfall in that short amount of time. So it resulted in a lot of damage, of 40 roads being damaged at least. And then the mountains, of course, we're dealing with much more serious issues where complete sections of road have been washed away by landslides or mudslides, where slopes just fail and they continue to carry material and debris and wash the road away with it. So we're looking in that case of months of repairs and detours for motorists.
How much more water can we take? I mean, if you've had a lot of damage on roadways and you're obviously backlogged in terms of repairing them because you can't have staff to repair these once in a lifetime kind of situations on staff all the time, every day, every year, how much more can we take?
Well, Rory, I think past that point, definitely we have a manpower issue to focus on because these are not fixes that can be put off temporarily. They are emergency repairs because that is our primary focus, is to keep mobility open for travelers and to keep the roads safe and passable, and so we can move goods and people and services. So we have to sometimes pull people from other units, not necessarily from our maintenance department. Sometimes we have had folks from our bridge units come in because some of the structures also might be affected, maybe with a lot of debris washing up, coming downstream and washing up against maybe a support underneath a bridge, or maybe taking away a shoulder or causing a washout of a section of roadway. And so what I have told people over the course of the summer is that each situation presents its own set of problems. So, one repair might take a couple of days, whereas another is more complex and might take weeks. We're still dealing with that in the Huntersville area with some roads that are still shut down from mid-July. Mm-hmm. And in the mountains, of course, they have a completely different animal where they're dealing with the sections of road that have to be completely rebuilt and backfilled first before they can even put down any pavement, resulting in detours that might be at least 20 miles long. One of the counties that was heavily affected also was Madison County out in our western part of the state. In July, on one day, they had enough rainfall to cause hundreds of landslides on July the 3rd, and I believe our crews still have at least 100 repairs to go. They've already fixed over 100 and have spent six figures already, close to $600,000 since July 1st to get those repairs completed.
Have you had to take on extra staff or hire outside concerns to help you with all this?
Yes, we have. In Charlotte, we have contracted out some repairs. In Huntersville, we have had to have crews bid on a contract to do some repairs on Gilead Road and on Bud Henderson Road because we've had to have some pipe fabricated that we didn't have in-house. And we also were dealing with utilities that were pretty complex, and we wanted to just make sure that the coordination and the communication with the stakeholders was smooth and that the transition would be smooth. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that we could have Bud Henderson Road open tomorrow and maybe have Gilead Road open by the end of next week. However, of course, that's subject to change if we deal with more of these thunderstorms that pop up and drop heavy amounts of rain in a short amount of time. That could complicate our repairs.
Yeah, we were supposed to have thunder showers every day this week, and the city of Charlotte has been spared, and I'm told that today is supposed to be a wet day later on this afternoon. We'll see what happens. Go back to the bridges. I've been curious about this for a long time. You mentioned that sometimes when bridges wash out or when the water comes right up to the road deck, that when the water recedes, you have to keep that bridge closed until you can examine it because it might have been damaged. These bridges are built to carry trucks and cars in a steady stream. How can twigs and branches and other debris cause enough damage that it might make the bridge unstable?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of water also coming downstream from the mountains, depending on where it's located, because we've been dealing with that in West Charlotte a couple of times this past summer on the west side near the Mountain Island Lake area. So if we have a large volume of water that is capable of carrying all kinds of things with it, and it can butt up against a bridge support and it can get pretty heavy, I would imagine, we just have to make sure that these structures are not compromised. We're also dealing with structures that might be older, that might be getting close to outlasting their design function. So most of these bridges are in outlying areas. They're not in any urban areas, but they are in like Stanley County or maybe rural Cabarrus County. But they are smaller two-lane bridges that we have to make sure that the pavement also isn't compromised. Some routinely flood that we know of, like Farm Mill Road in Cabarrus County, Stallings Road in Cabarrus County. Anytime we get a heavy amount of rain, because it's a pretty low-level bridge, but some of these are already going to be replaced at some point, too. They're scheduled for replacement. But these are farm-to-market bridges that have almost outserved their life cycle. Right. So hopefully we'll have them on deck to get repaired pretty soon.
There are certain areas that we know are prone to flooding. The Bryant Park area of Freedom Drive and Moorhead Street seems to be a place that floods out a lot. And there are other places around town that whenever it rains heavily, we have news reports on television about people being removed from apartments and places like that because they're flooding. What have we discovered this year? Because I would think that a lot of areas that have never flooded before have flooded. Have we found new vulnerable locations that we need to be aware of as a result of all this rain?
Well, I think what we're dealing with this summer has been exactly what you're saying. All this rain is just saturating the ground, and if we continue to get it, it could cause voids to form. And then we worry about the void between the pavement and what's underneath.
These are sinkholes you're talking about.
Not quite. It's actually, the pavement is still intact, but there's a void underneath the pavement caused by the soil separating.
Okay.
And that's what we dealt with on Wilkinson Boulevard, where you could almost just kind of look down underneath the road and see a huge hole. We almost started to deal with that on Mount Holly Huntersville Road this summer, too. One of our employees was just doing a drive-by, and he saw something on the other side of the road that didn't look right. He turned around, and sure enough, we had some problems that were just starting there. And so we were fortunate to get it closed and to get a detour in place early to catch it early on. We were also dealing with some problems down in South Charlotte on Providence Road at Queens Road. And this is a good tie-in to all the work that we do with our stakeholders with the City of Charlotte and with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Utilities and with the police department. They notified us that there was a problem out there. We sent some inspectors out there. In the meantime, the police were there directing traffic. And so we were able to get inspectors out there and work with the CMUD folks to determine the cause. And CMUD took over the repairs and were able to get it done in less than 24 hours. But it's a testament to the great relationship that we have with these other agencies, that we all have to work together to accomplish the same goal of getting the roads open but making sure they're safe.
Yeah, we'll have some folks on from CMUD in a few minutes here. The eight roadways, I think, in Catawba, Lincoln, and Cleveland counties had culverts or bridges that were completely washed out this summer. I think you mentioned that. In fact, there may be more by now. How does that what happened this summer compared to what happens in an average year, not just a summer?
I would have to say it's way above average. This is something that in my 9 years with the state have never dealt with, have never seen before. And I believe our counterparts to our west have also not dealt with anything of this magnitude. So even probably in an average year, we don't deal with situations this extreme. I mean, we normally have to be prepared for heavy snow and heavy bouts in the wintertime, but nothing like this in the summertime. As I mentioned, that in Catawba and Lincoln County, they had almost a foot of rainfall in a four-hour span on July 27th. That was a Saturday, and it just kept on coming down. And then on the end of that month, on the 30th, the Secretary of Transportation, Tony Tata, came with Governor Pat McCrory to that area and looked at two severely damaged areas where a bridge was completely washed away. But as you mentioned, there are many causes to these problems. Sometimes it could be just a sinkhole. It could be a slope failure. Maybe a storm drain has compromised also and caved in, or a roadway could be partially washed out. There are several reasons why we have these roads closed. And there was another dramatic situation in Avery County in a few weeks ago on Highway 194. I don't know if you recall seeing on the news that this entire section washed away from the slope, and the guardrail was actually dangling. It was still intact, but there was nothing underneath to support it. And so it was simply just dangling there in the air, and there were actually some homes that were at the bottom of that slope, and fortunately people were able to get out and nobody was hurt. But that is a repair that is ongoing and looking at maybe the end of November still to take to get repaired, and that's an excessive undertaking, and it also requires a pretty lengthy detour, which people are probably not happy about, but it's for their safety.
Speaking of safety, we haven't had a lot of reports, I don't believe, of people being caught up in the flooding or having their cars washed downstream as they approach flooded areas. Have people taken safety precautions or safety warnings from you folks to heart, do you think?
I would say yes and no to that. The good thing, like you've mentioned, if people see standing water, it might not look like a lot, but if there aren't any traffic control measures in place, like a barricade or a sign saying, you know, go away and go another way, we don't want people, of course, to try to navigate through those waters because you just don't know the depth and you don't know how fast the current might be going, and that can just, you know, simply sweep you away. But we have had issues where motorists have tried to move barricades on their own, or they've tried to drive around them and proceed into the area that we don't want them to go into. And the reason that we don't condone that is we don't want people to run into an issue where they go somewhere and it's unsafe, obviously. You might not see what the problem is up ahead of you, but obviously there is an issue, and that's why we have the road closed.
So if there's standing water, don't go through it. Don't move the barricades. And if there's standing water and no barricades, should they contact somebody very quickly?
Absolutely.
Who? Quickly. 5 seconds.
They can call 911, and they'll get to the right person.
Okay. Jennifer Thompson, Communications Officer of the North Carolina Department of Transportation. Thanks for joining us. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Coca-Cola Recycle and Win, an environmental partnership with the City of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County municipalities designed to support and increase recycling in our region. Details at CokeRecycleAndWin.com. Newcomers to Charlotte may drive around the city, look around the city, walk around the city, and ask one big question. Why? Why, for instance, is there a car on top of a restaurant? Why do the streets change names every other block? Why are there onion rings coming out of the ground in Cotswold or near Cotswold? We're going to get the answers to those questions and more, and we encourage you to ask your own special questions about Charlotte in the first part of our program tomorrow. And then we hear about a very special theatrical experience for kids who might not otherwise be able to see big shows like The Lion King. That's all tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, as the nation awaits a White House decision on the Keystone Pipeline, communities in Arkansas and Michigan are still cleaning up from major oil spills. Debate over shipping oil through pipelines.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon right after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the fallout from all of the rain we've been having this summer. Although it's been bright and sunny for most of this week, we're supposed to have some heavy rain this afternoon into the weekend, so we'll see what happens, and we need to be prepared. We're going to be joined now for some folks who make handling of the water their business every day of the year. Dave Kanan is director of the Mecklenburg County Stormwater Services, and from 1994 to 1999, he also served as the chair of the North Carolina Association of Floodplain Managers. I didn't know there was such an organization. How do you manage a floodplain, Dave?
Very carefully.
A practice, I thought, was going to be the answer. Barry Gullett is with us also. He's the director of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Utilities. He's responsible for our drinking and wastewater, not at the same time, one would imagine.
I hope not.
Thank you for joining us. And by phone with us from Chicago, Jeff Doolin. He's the deputy chief of the Charlotte Fire Department and chief of special operations, including emergency management and the CFD 911, 911 Center. Thank you for being here, Jeff. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You say, Dave, that this has been the wettest summer on record in Charlotte since 1943 and the fifth wettest ever. So whatever historical precedent there is in the distant past, it's in the distant past. But even so, today a lot more of Mecklenburg County is impervious to rainfall. We have a lot more buildings, a lot more parking lots, rooftops, etc. I would imagine that, combined with all this extra water we've gotten, has really taxed the system.
Yes, it really has. To give you some information, at the Charlotte-Mecklenburg or the Charlotte International Airport, mm-hmm. for June and July, they recorded two times the normal amount of rainfall than they usually do for those 2 months. Now, if you just go about 10 miles north to Hornets Nest Park, that rainfall gauge recorded three times as much rainfall as what Charlotte International Airport records during June and July. So it's not only heavy, heavy rains that we've been experiencing that's very spotty, mm-hmm. and it's very, very intense over a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Jen Thompson talked about Gilead Road. When it flooded in June, it was because of 5 inches of rainfall over 4 hours. On July 11th, on the west side, it was 4 inches of rainfall in 2.5 hours. And to answer one of your questions, actually, locally, we didn't see flooding where we didn't expect it. The floodplains flooded, and that's what floodplains naturally do.
And that's what they're for. That's why we have them. That's why we don't allow people to build on them, because they want the water to spread out.
That's exactly right. And so our challenge is, what are we going to do with the buildings that have been put in the floodplain before floodplain regulations mm-hmm. were put into effect? And that's where the stormwater program comes in.
Can you – this is probably a pretty big assignment, but can you take me through the life cycle of a raindrop? It comes down in groups. It's not just one little drop all by itself that causes the problem. It's a ton of rain that causes a problem. But that raindrop comes down. It hits the lawns. It hits the rooftops. It hits the parking lots. Then what happens to it? This is where you come in. What happens to that rain?
Yeah, some of the rainfall, some of the raindrops actually infiltrate into the ground mm-hmm. and recharge our groundwater system. But especially in an urban area like Charlotte-Mecklenburg, a lot of it hits our rooftops, our driveways, our parking lots, and also picks up the pollutants that is laying on that surface mm-hmm. and goes to a nearby inlet or a ditch and then goes into a pipe and goes underneath the road and goes through subdivisions and eventually makes it to our floodplain, in which it is met with a bunch of other drops of water. And they all can't occupy the creek themselves, so they spill over into the floodplain.
So let me see, find the sanitary sewer, which we'll talk about with Barry, the sewer that takes care of the effluent that comes from your home, the sinks and the toilets, et cetera, the showers.
Right.
That goes one way. The stormwater system is completely separate and completely different, isn't it?
Yes, especially for Charlotte-Mecklenburg. In the northeastern portion of the United States, they do have combined systems, mm-hmm. where it's both carrying the rainfall and the sewage.
Is that a good way to do it?
No.
Okay. But here,
you're exactly right. Here, they are separate systems.
So here, when the water goes off the street, down the grate, and into a pipe that is the stormwater pipe, mm-hmm. where does it go from there? Into the creeks,
and then it flows out of the county by one of two ways, either on the east side by the Rocky River watersheds or on the west side by the Catawba River.
So, and these creeks are getting water from the rain as well, not from the pipes necessarily, but from the surrounding areas that the creek goes through. So it's handling all of that runoff, and it's handling what we're pumping into it or draining into it through pipes. When the system is built, when you go in and build a new, like a new subdivision or something like that, how much water do you plan for these pipes to carry to a certain location?
Well, it kind of depends. If it's a normal city street, those pipes are supposed to carry like a 10-year storm.
Okay.
And then if
which would be what?
Well, maybe about 2 or 3 inches over a couple of hours.
Okay.
2 or 3 inches of rainfall over a couple of hours.
Okay. And so when we have these extraordinary rainfall, there's no way for it to handle it.
It's not any different than after a well-attended Carolina Panthers football game and people trying to get on the road all at the same time.
Right.
You have backups. You have people that have to wait their turn to get out. And the same thing happens with stormwater. It backs up on the systems and overflows.
Now, CMUD, Barry, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Utilities, handles the production and delivery of drinking water, and you handle the cleaning of our sewerage before it is put back into the rivers and put downstream. What happens during these periods of overabundant rain? Does that impact our drinking water, our sewerage output? How does that work?
All of the above. It impacts us in our operations in a number of ways. You talked about separate systems, and Charlotte-Mecklenburg system is designed to be separate. But nonetheless, when manholes get covered over by floodwater, rainwater, when there are illicit connections in some cases that we haven't been able to find between stormwater systems and the sanitary sewer system, we see a huge increase in the flow rate and the amount of water that's in the sanitary sewer pipes as well. And we've been investing heavily over the last 10 years to try to control that and to manage that, because just like Dave described, when there's too much water in there, it backs up and it overflows.
Why would there be more water in the sanitary system when it rains heavily?
The stormwater finds its way in there.
Really?
As hard as we try to keep it out.
Because we have leaks in the pipes?
In some cases, there are. In other cases, it's if you look around at manhole covers, a lot of them have a lot of holes in the top of them.
Right.
And they need that to ventilate the system. But when there's water running across those holes, some of it goes into the manhole. And so when you think about the tens of thousands of manholes that we have in Charlotte, we get water in that way. In some cases, people have connected downspouts or sump pumps or basement drains and that type of thing into their sanitary system, which should not happen, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases, we have manholes that simply get overtopped. When we build sewer lines, a lot of times we build them along creeks because they flow by gravity, and so they need to follow the creeks in the county to work properly. And we try to make the top of the manhole, that cover, high enough that it won't be covered over in a flood. But as Dave described, in a lot of cases, the floods exceed our design standards. We try to design for the probability that a 1% probability that it will be overtopped, which is equivalent to a 100-year flood, essentially, in the return vernacular.
But when it rains a lot, as it has, there's a lot of extra water going into the streams and the river and then into Mountain Island Lake, where we get our drinking water from, and other lakes around the area where other municipalities get their drinking water from. How does that impact what you have to do to treat that water so that when it comes out of the tap, it's clean enough to drink? Does it impact you at all?
Yes, it does. But first, let me say that the quality of the water that comes out of your faucet when you turn it on stays the same. It stays clean and pure. And that's the job of the water treatment plant, is to deal with whatever's in the lake. And we do see changes in the nature of water quality in the lake when we have storms.
There's more runoff?
Because there's more runoff. We see a number of changes. First of all, the water is just muddier. You get all the silt and sediment, and when you go across the bridge and the water looks brown, that's not normal. Yeah. But we take that out. We do that every day. And in fact, our water supply source is a lot cleaner on its worst day than most water supply sources are on their best day. We are really blessed in this region to have such a good water supply source with the Catawba River and the impoundments and the lakes that are present there. We also see other changes in the water quality, but again, the water treatment plants are designed to handle that. When stormwater runs off, like Dave said, it picks up all those pollutants, all the oil that's dripped off the cars and old brake linings and the little bits of rubber off the tires, and everything that's on the ground or on a parking lot winds up in the water.
Let me bring Jeff Doolin into the conversation here. Jeff is the deputy chief of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Fire Department. The fire department has been tasked, Jeff, as we all know, with being first responders to medical and other emergencies. Does that include flooding?
Yes, it does. Part of what our responsibility is working with both Barry and Dave on pre-planning for where we think floods are going to happen, notifying those residents. We have an automated system that we can use and call those residents that are in repeated flooded areas. And then also each of our fire stations carries sets of sawhorses or street blockage tools to be able to go out and preemptively block those roads where we think that the flood's going to overtop them. As part of that also is we get these flash floods like we had the last couple of weeks that just appear, and we respond out, secure the area, start evacuating anybody who's currently in danger, and start working with the weather service and finding out what the potential is going to be continued rain and more floods, and start identifying those folks that might be in danger later.
Mm-hmm.
One of our biggest problems that we get is what we call training. When storms just continue to build over top of Charlotte and that water keeps coming, and the water that's there can't get away fast enough, and so you start compounding the height of the rise of the water. And so we have all of our personnel across the Charlotte Fire Department, all 256 that are on each day, are all swift water rescue trained. We have 10 sets of boats scattered out across the city that can deploy to be able to help remove these victims or even go rescue them if they do get in trouble.
Well, I was going to ask you what the fire department does when it gets onto the scene of a flood, and now you've just told me. How many times have you been called out this summer, and where have you been called to? What kinds of calls have you gotten with regard to too much water?
We had about 4 or 5 days this spring, summer, that we've had major flooding. We have minor flooding sometimes here and there, but we had some major flooding on a couple days. And it was the one day that was there right around lunchtime was mostly around the West Charlotte area, around Hoskins Road, West Trey Street, Bates Ford Road, and then down towards the West Moorhead area. And that was the tributary there that was feeding most of that got that 4 inches of rain in 2 hours, which is a lot of rain. And, a good friend of ours that for the fire department that has done a lot of this for years, Tim Rogers, always says sometimes it just rains too much. And on that day, it rained too much too fast. But luckily, we had no injuries. We did rescue about 60 people who were in water and then relocated about another 200 and 10 that were relocated to a shelter for a short period of time till the water dropped down.
I know that the city emergency crews have topographical maps that show where the areas that are prone to flooding happen to be, and I know anecdotally they certainly know where they are because a lot of areas flood repeatedly, and I'm sure that the fire department's been called out to some of these areas regularly. Have you been surprised this summer by flooding in areas that you've never been called out to?
Yeah, we had some areas over off of Morgan Street and Hoskins Road that was not a main tributary running through there, but what happened was the strong sale just dumped a lot of water in that one particular area, and there was just not enough runoff capacity built into that neighborhood, and so we had a lot of street flooding, and that was basically where the water was finding the quickest and most downward path to get to where it could get to a stream. Mm-hmm. And some of that took place through people's yards and neighborhoods and things like that. But that's really because of that cell dumped so much water in a particular area. And, you know, the storm drains were all located mostly in the roadways. But when you've got, you know, places where you get water where there's not those storm drains or it's got to travel quicker to get to one, you start seeing that. We also see low-lying areas like intersections sometimes, but locations that are collection points because they're just naturally downhill. Well, when you have that, you have water coming from multiple directions. And if you've got, you know, one of these cells that's dumping 2, 3, or 4 inches of water, you've got that much water coming from every direction to that one catch basin. And a lot of times the catch basin is not able to catch that much water, i.e. we get intersections that are blocked with the floods.
Dave Kanan is also with us. He's the director of Mecklenburg County Stormwater Services. I know the county made changes after 2003 to handle a series of overflows that it experienced that year. Did those changes help out in any way this summer?
Oh, absolutely. The rainfall on the west side that Jeff was talking about, in the Stewart Irwin Creek watershed, the Smallwood neighborhood, mm-hmm. as an example, in other neighborhoods in the area, we bought about 60 homes using state, federal, and local money and removed those homes from the floodplain. And so now you have open space where there's community gardens, and yeah, the community garden flooded, but that's a whole lot better than somebody's house flooding. Right. But we're not done. I mean, there are still homes that flooded on July 11th, and there's still work to do. There are still thousands of homes and businesses in the floodplain. Even though we have removed over 280 homes and businesses and relocated 575 families out of the floodplain, there's still plenty left to do.
Okay. Barry Gullett, I'm just curious, as the director of CMUD, when the rivers and streams are handling such an overabundance of water, from the storm water runoff and also from the non-sanitary sewer, you're charged with pushing treated effluent back into the rivers and streams. We know that in times of drought, Duke Energy is asked to keep the water levels up so that we can have drinking water in the lakes. How do you push more water in when they can't handle what's coming out of the creeks and the runoff from the land? How do you push more water into the system?
Well, the discharges from the wastewater treatment plants are designed to work under those conditions. So that really isn't the problem. Usually the biggest concern that we have when we're getting these big rainfalls are overflows and spills, because we obviously don't want any sewer overflows. But unfortunately, our system, as does every other wastewater system that I know of in the world, has them from time to time. We are really proud that the investments that we've made over the last 10 years, we had fewer sewer overflows in the fiscal year that just ended than we've had in the last 10 years, even with all the rain. And normally in a very wet year, we have a lot of sewer overflows and we have a high volume. But we had the lowest number and the lowest volume of sewer overflows that we've had in the last 10 years, even with all the rain.
Wow. I guess the thing to look for now is tree fall. Has that been a major problem, Jeff? Very quickly, I have about 15 seconds.
We've seen a lot of that because of saturated ground, and then we haven't had a major windstorm yet, but if we do get that, that will be a concern. And we're trying to preach people now to go out and educate and evaluate all your trees around your buildings, around your house. If you think it's concerned, have someone come out and look at it.
Jeff Doolin is Deputy Chief of CFS Charlotte-Mecklenburg Fire Department. Barry Gullett is Director of CMUD. And Dave Kanan is Director of Mecklenburg County Stormwater Services. When we come back, a meteorologist, and we'll talk about farming. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and executive MBA programs at UNC Kenan Flagler for Working Professionals, hosting a weekend MBA open house and GMAT mini prep session in Chapel Hill, Saturday, August the 24th. Registration emba.unc.edu. Scores of people have been killed in Egypt's crackdown on supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. A panel of journalists and experts joins Diane Rehm for an update on the state of emergency and international reactions to it in that nation, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how all this rain, all this weather has affected not only farmers, but what you're going to be paying shortly, if not now, in the grocery store. Stay with us.
Big day at the job. make it break time. They're all waiting for you right now in the conference room. Well, they're going to have to wait because you're not leaving the radio until you hear the end of that story. Snap Judgment from NPR. Storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it. Saturdays at 8 p.m. or Fridays at 10 p.m. on WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're going to continue talking about the impact of all this rain on Charlotte, and we're going to move into an area in a moment or two that has really challenged a lot of people and will challenge us at the grocery store, because farmers and gardeners have certainly been impacted by all this, and Don Nicholson is coming onto the program in a moment. Don is a regional agronomist for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. Thanks for being here, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And before we let our gentleman from CMUD and from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg stormwater people go, they wanted to add a codicil to this conversation, and that is stormwater is nasty.
Yes, it is. there's no matter how much money we invest, there are going to be occasional overflows, but there will be pollutants in our floodwaters at all times. So not only is it polluted, it's very dangerous. I mean, and that's what Chief Doolin was talking about, is that you need to stay out of floodwaters, period. Turn around, don't drown.
Yeah, because you see these pictures on TV of people wading through them up to their waist, and you shouldn't be doing that.
Absolutely not. Do not do that. That may be the last time you go in the water.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Also with us, we finally gotten a meteorologist to join us, and we had a little, I think we had our wires crossed with Brad Panovich from WCNC. He's always here when we ask him to be here, but something happened this morning, and we are really pleased to have Megan Dennehy with us. She's also a meteorologist at WCNC, and I got to tell you, I'm a fan of your work, Megan, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. How unusual would you say the weather we've had this summer has been? What an elementary softball question, but go ahead. How unusual would you say it is?
You know, just today on the air, I was saying that it's just been wacky. I mean, there's a highly technical term for you. Very, very unusual for this part of the country, and it has been something to watch unfold.
Well, we've had, it seems to me, and this is all anecdotal on my part, a series of months or years now of strange weather. No snow, lots of snow, not just here but around the country. No rain, lots of rain. Is this just happenstance, or is something happening to the weather cycle in some strange way?
Well, I think everything is cyclical, and a lot of attention is paid to the changes these days with the hot button issues there with the global climate change.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, certainly at the beginning of the summer is where we got into trouble with an unusual pattern. I don't know if you remember how hot it was across the western half of the country. Seattle was seeing 92 degrees. Las Vegas had recorded the temperature that was, I think it was around 117 degrees. And while they were sitting underneath that ridge, we were sitting underneath a very deep trough of low pressure. Usually the jet stream doesn't come down that far in the summer, and it tapped into the tropical moisture, which not only did it tap into the tropical moisture and give us a tremendous amount of what we call precipitable water or humidity in the atmosphere, but we had a series of storm tracks come right on top of the region. And so, you know, we started the summer with a very stormy, wet pattern that only fed on itself as we moved along.
So these troughs that you weather people talk about, these are essentially like little highways for storms to ride on. And if they don't ride quickly enough, if they're slow poking through and they're full of moisture, it just dumps.
Exactly. That's a great explanation. I've always talked about it as being a little river, and you throw a stick in it, and the stick's going to go where the water's going. But yeah, that's the storm track, and you know, you can have just a series of disturbances move through that highway, as you call it, and we had plenty of moisture to work with because we were tapped into the Gulf of Mexico as well as the Atlantic. So we had a ton of rain, and you know, I heard them speaking earlier about the incredible rainfall rates in these thunderstorms. We had so much moisture to work with that our typical thunderstorms were a lot more serious this summer because the water content was so much higher
yeah.
than normal. Big fat raindrops and a whole lot of them.
We went through several years of serious drought in this area, and now we've got more water than we can deal with. Has that made up the difference? In other words, when we're talking about getting a year's worth of rainfall in a week, has that replenished the water table? Are we clear of any drought problems for the next 5 years?
Or, I don't know. 5 years may be pushing it, but we certainly have corrected some of the problems that we're getting into.
And is this part of a normal cycle of things, drought, abundance, or is this these wild swings? I don't recall these wild swings being so normal in the past.
It seems like it almost is the new normal. You know, I find it funny that we talk about average temperature or average rainfall. What are we really comparing that to? Because it seems like the normals were so long ago. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, if you say, well, we normally get, I'm looking at my climate table right here. So it says the normal value of rain for this, up to this point in the year, is 26.31 inches. And we're over that by 7.77 inches. Well, the normal value, gosh, when's the last time we actually saw that normal value? It's actually based on the last 30 years, but it seems like we are having more swings.
I would have thought it would be more than 7 inches over normally.
And you know, that's recorded at Charlotte Douglas International Airport, which there have been a lot of locations in our region that have seen a lot more rain than that.
Now, farmers used to rely, I don't think they still do, but they used to rely on the Farmer's Almanac. I don't know if the Farmer's Almanac predicted all of this wet weather this year, but did farmers, from your point of view, Megan, have any warning from meteorologists that they might experience what we've gone through this year?
I would say no. I don't believe it was predicted.
Okay.
To be this wet.
Well, what's wrong with you? let me bring Don Nicholson.
Yeah, I want to hear the farmer's answer on that, actually. I'm really curious.
Let me bring him into this conversation. He's a regional agronomist, and he's talking to us by phone from Sanford, North Carolina. Did farmers have any inkling that this was going to happen, Don?
No, sir. This is unprecedented. And I mean, I've lived on a farm all my life and still do, and fourth generation on the farm that I'm on. And, you know, I've talked to older people throughout this year, and some people will tell you they've never seen anything like this. But it's so widespread this year that, you know, every once in a while you'll have a spot, a community or a part of a county that in the past had large amounts of rainfall at one time, and 5 miles down the road, you know, everything was great. But this is such a widespread event that it's just unprecedented.
Yeah, tree removal folks, mosquito control people, they've probably profited from all this rainfall. Flooding people who come in and fix your house after it floods have profited from this. Farmers certainly have not profited. How bad has this been for farmers, Don?
It has been negative almost on almost every crop we grow other than corn. It's been an excellent corn year.
So, explain that to me. I read that yesterday. It's been a great year for corn. Why? Why is corn the shining star of this soggy summer?
Corn is generally planted about a month and a half ahead of everything else that we grow. You know, a lot of growers, especially in your area, will start around the first to the middle of April planting the crop. So it was up and, you know, in pretty good shape by the time these torrential rains started falling. The crop, I'm not going to say it was made, but it was almost made by the time the rains hit it. And usually in North Carolina, by the time the corn crop is getting toward made is when the heat comes on and the rain shuts off. And so a lot of times in North Carolina, and you know, it's not a joke, but it's rooted in a lot of truth, that just about anywhere in North Carolina, we're about 5 to 7 days away from a drought because of the way our soils are here in North Carolina.
Really? So
the part of the state where I live, you know, I live just above the sand hills. The sand hills, I think, are about 3 days away from a drought, no matter how much it rains.
Huh. I guess it's because it's so porous. So in this area where we have a lot of clay in the soil, I have not run my sprinkler system all summer, which has saved me a fortune. Thank you. Should I be? Because it hasn't rained for a week. Should I? If you were a farmer here in this area, would you be irrigating at the moment, or would you just let the fields dry out a little bit?
I would let the fields dry out.
Okay.
I mean, your part of the world over there, the clay hangs on to the moisture a little bit longer. That's why I gave that range. You know, you guys are about 10 days, 2 weeks from a drought about any time during the summer.
Okay.
But you know how hot it gets in the summertime in North Carolina. So we get we just don't hold on to the soil moisture like they do out in the Midwest.
Now, I read that the first crop to be impacted by this wet weather was wheat. I did not know that wheat is harvested so early in the year. From June to July is when the harvest for wheat is. It didn't really start raining that heavily in June, did it? I mean, why was wheat impacted?
It was a late crop to start with. We had so much cool weather in the spring this year that it delayed the heading of the crop. So it was a little bit later than normal anyhow. And a few farmers got going early and got the crop out, but most farmers, you know, waited until the grain was field dry. And when they started harvesting, that's when the rain started. And you know, wheat is a crop, if it rains today, it's 2 or 3 days before it's dry enough to get the combine back in the field.
I see. And I know that farmers have had trouble with heavy equipment in the field because the equipment actually has gotten bogged down in the mud, right?
Yes, it's been terrible this year. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money spent on pulling equipment out of muddy fields. And a lot of times, you know, and the equipment nowadays is so much larger than it was 25, 30 years ago that sometimes it takes a little more to pull them out. You know, wrecker services, you see those giant wreckers that pull semi-trucks down the road. Those guys have been pretty busy this summer.
Another industry to profit from all the rain, I suppose. But tobacco, fruits, and vegetables don't like what you folks call wet feet. They don't like a lot of rain, and they've been struggling. So what's going to be the impact of that in the supermarket and at farmers' markets? What's going to be missing or in short supply or very high-priced?
Well, I'm not sure how much it's going to how much it's going to impact the prices to a great degree. The prices will probably go up on a local level. And, you know, it wasn't just North Carolina that was getting all these rains. Georgia was getting them too. And some people may know, some people may not. Georgia is a huge supplier of watermelons up and down the East Coast, and their crop was very negatively impacted by all this rain.
What will this do to peaches?
Well, about half the peach crop was done for back in the spring with some late frost anyhow. The peaches, and we've got, you know, several different varieties, you know, mostly in the Sand Hills region that are a little bit later, and that crop is really good, but the prices are a little higher than normal.
I mean, you guys are completely dependent in many cases on what the weather decides to do, and we've done programs on farming, and I've read books on farming, and farming seems like a terribly difficult profession to be in, and one which costs a lot of money because you can never know what 1 year is going to be like to the next. You sound in the sound of your voice, Don Nicholson, I hear just a little touch of despondence.
A little touch of the what?
Of despondence. You sound a little unhappy.
Well, I've been at this a long time. I'm over 20 years working with farmers. Like I say, I grew up on a farm, and farmers are my people, so to speak. And after you've worked with somebody for a long time, 15, 20 years, they're no longer clients. They're more like fans, friends and family.
And they're suffering.
And, you know, you hear about it day in and day out, and it affects you too. So, you know, you said that, you know, farmers are dependent on the weather, and that's what people like me are here for. We try to help them control everything that they can control going into a crop. You know, the soil fertility, the pH, everything that they can control to set the stage for hopefully a good crop. And then every once in a while, a year like this year happens, and you can't prepare for this.
Megan Dennehy, this turned out to be a primarily dry week in Charlotte, but other areas have continued to get rain. We're supposed to, I think, tell me what's supposed to happen today. We're supposed to get some heavy rains today and into the weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be, we're going to be tapping into deep tropical moisture out of the Gulf, out of the Atlantic, and we're going to get some of that moisture to slug on up here. And Saturday and Sunday look pretty wet. The rain chances remain elevated into Monday and Tuesday as well.
Had this been winter, we'd be under 10 feet of snow by now in this area. So what's the outlook for fall and winter in terms of moisture and precipitation and temperature for that matter?
Well, you know, it takes a while to unwind from this. You have to understand that these patterns will feed on itself for a little while. For example, a drought will feed on itself. Obviously, the drier the soil, the lower the humidity, the less available moisture you have for showers and thunderstorms, and therefore the drought can go on longer and become more severe. A wet summer like this, with so much moisture around and as you move into fall, it's going to take a while to unravel. I wouldn't be surprised if we continue with the increased moisture, the increased rainfall going into the fall.
And I have about 30 seconds left. We're still in hurricane season. We will be in hurricane season until December. We haven't had any, although it's supposed to be a more active year in the tropics for hurricanes and tropical storms. What if we get one? Can we handle that water?
Well, I sure don't know if we can. Where's it going to go? And as you mentioned earlier, we've got vulnerable trees all over the place, too. You certainly wouldn't want to have big winds come up here.
Yeah.
We have Tropical Storm Aaron formed today, so we'll have to see how the rest of the season goes. But I wouldn't mind if we stayed clear of those systems.
Megan Dennehy is a meteorologist at WCNC TV 36, the NBC station. Don Nicholson is an agronomist for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. Thank you both for joining us.